The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on November 21, 1988 in Bangalore, India. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 12, Text 10.
Come to the perfect stage. Purport. One who is not able even to practice the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga under the guidance of a spiritual master can still be drawn to this perfectional stage by working for the Supreme Lord. How to do this work has already been explained in the 55th verse of the 11th chapter. One should be sympathetic to the propagation of Krishna consciousness. There are many devotees who are engaged in the propagation of Krishna consciousness, and they require help. So even if one cannot directly practice the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, he can try to help such work. Every endeavor requires land, capital, organization, and labor. Just as in business, one requires a place to stay, some capital to use, some labor, and some organization to expand. So the same is required in the service of Krishna. The only difference is that in the materialism, one works for sense gratification. The same work, however, can be performed for the satisfaction of Krishna. And that is spiritual activity. If one has sufficient money, he can help in building an office or temple for propagating Krishna consciousness. Or he can help with publications. There are various fields of activity, and one should be interested in such activities. if one cannot sacrifice the result of such activities, the same person can still sacrifice some percentage to propagate Krishna consciousness. This voluntary service to the cause of Krishna consciousness will help one to rise to the higher state of love of God, whereupon one becomes perfect. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport of chapter 12, text 10.
Om Tat Sat. Someone's doing that? They're following. So, the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the chapter on devotional service or Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga, the science of devotional service, is declared by Lord Krishna to be the very quick, swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. It is considered to be the most intimate of all the yogas. Sarva yukta tamo mataha. Therefore, Bhakti Yoga is given its own chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti Yoga has as its perfection the full consciousness of Bhagavan, or the love or prema for Bhagavan. But there are different levels of love for God or Krishna prema. In the previous verse, Krishna explains that if someone is able to fix the mind on him without deviation, always in pure devotion, then one will always live with him without doubt. The next stage, he said, if you are not able to naturally fix your mind on me, then you follow regulative principle of Vyas Yogena. In this way, you will develop a desire to attain me. Mam ichaptum dhananjaya. A spontaneous natural desire. That was a verse 9. Here in verse 10, it explains the next level of love of God, where one is not able to fully practice all of the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, the regulations, but they have a desire to achieve perfection, then they should do work for Krishna. Mat karma. Basically, this is recommending karma yoga as the next level of Krishna prema. Regulative principles of devotional service mean to practice devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master, following principles like rising early in the morning, taking bath. This taking bath early in the morning may seem something very ordinary, but in many countries, people cannot understand this daily taking bath early in the morning. We discovered recently, after the devotees were freed from the labor camps in Russia, one devotee gave a history. While he was in a prison house, every morning he would rise and he would take his cup and bathe himself. So the other prisoners, they became angry. Why are you taking bath every day? What's wrong with you? You would take once a week is more than enough. And they said, actually, they got angry with him, so they just picked one excuse. They said, you use your cup to drink and you're also bathing. That means your cup is dirty. So your bath is also no good. So because of this, we're going to kill you. But we are not able to kill you because we are not such a hardened criminal. We're going to communicate with the murderers downstairs that they can take care of you in the next opportunity. So they wrote a note downstairs to some of the hardened criminal. What they did is they put the devotee with hardened criminal. Note came back from them. What's wrong with you people? We've got one of the Hare Krishnas down here with us too. His name is Vrindavan Das. He every day takes a morning bath. And he always is chanting the names of Hare Krishna, names of God. Why are you people so foolish? Can't you see these people are saints? They're holy people, sadhus. You shouldn't threaten them or beat them. You should protect them. You are very lucky to have a saint with you in your same cell. If you do anything to harm, then you have to deal with us. Srila Prabhupada ki, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. So this bathing, some they don't understand sometimes why we should take bath. In Europe they invented perfume because the people would only bathe once in many months. So that bad smell was coming, so they put perfume, that way you can't smell. That's why they call Ude toilet, toilet water. You go, instead of bathing, you just throw some smelling water. You won't smell the bad odor. The people became so dirty that the hair would fall out. So they developed wig system. But this is not Indian culture. This is a old-fashioned Mlecha culture. So part of the thing is to take bath, to externally be clean, to be internally clean. External cleanliness comes from bathing, from washing. Internal cleanliness comes from chanting. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Taking Krishna prasadam. Offering prayers, reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing from the pure devotees. These are all the purifying activities. So in this way, Krishna explained that by practicing under a bona fide spiritual master, everyone requires a bona fide guru to take shelter of the guru, then to take initiation from the guru, and to advance step by step following a regulative practice of devotional service. But then there may be some that they find that they're not quite ready to follow all the regulative principles, the dietary rules, the bathing rules, etc. of the sadhana bhakti or regulative devotional service. But they want to do something for Krishna. They want to achieve perfection. They want to help other people. So this also a level of devotion, a level of love. This explained today in the 10th verse. That even if someone cannot fully practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, they should still try to work for Krishna. And they can gradually practice to do some of the regulation as far as possible. Then they'll come up to the next higher level. Krishna Balarama Nitai Gaura Ki. Narasingha Deva Ki. How to do work has been explained in the 55th verse of the 11th chapter. Let us digress. Matkama krin mat paramo mat bhakta sangavarjita nirvaira sarva bhuteshu yassa mameti pandava. My dear Arjuna, one who is engaged in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of previous activities and from mental speculation, who is friendly to every living entity, certainly comes to me. So if one is engaged, mat karma krit, devotional service. Then Krishna promises that they'll go back to him. They'll go to Mat Parama, to his supreme abode. So what work is there for Krishna? The biggest work is propagating the glories of Krishna. In every yuga there's a yajna. Krite dayatong vishnum treetayam yachato makai dvaparyam parichachayam kalotat harikirtanat. In the Satya Yuga, the yajna was meditation. In Treta Yuga, it was homa, or fire sacrifice. In Dwarpa Yuga, it was worshipping in the temples. In South India, there are many ancient temples coming even from Dwarpa Yuga. But today in the Madras paper, the Dr. Alexander, governor of Tamil Nadu, made a statement that there are thousands of temples which do not have enough finance to do even a weekly puja. And they are afraid they may become closed down altogether if something is not done. Actually, in Tamil Nadu, why should we build a new temple? We approached to give us an old temple because all the pujaris requested. But they are not agreed for various reasons. The government at that time. Maybe now they'll change their idea. But in the previous yuga, there are many temples, but now we find that the temples are not maintaining so well. Because simply the temple worship without the propagation of the glories of the Lord is incomplete in this age. Because this is the age of Kalo Tat Hari Kirtan. Glorifying Hari. That is the yajna for the age, is chanting the holy names. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam Kalova Nasteva 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 Gatiranyatha. Chant the holy names of Hari. Chant the holy names of Hari. Chant the holy names of Hari. Iva Kevalam. It's the only recommended sacrifice. Kalo, in the age of Kali. Nasteva. There's no other alternative. Nasteiva. No other alternative. Nasteiva. No other alternative. Gotiranyatha. Which can take you to the supreme destination. Or this is the only recommended way. There's no other recommended way. So all of the practices or yajnas, whether temple worship, homa or meditation, should be accompanied with the japa and with the kirtana of the names of Krishna. Especially in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is recommended. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti so dasakam nam nam kali kalamashanashanam. Nata paratta upaya sarva vede shudishyate. This is a totally authorized and recommended process in all of the Suti Smriti Vedic mantras. Pancharatrik Vidhi states that all mantras have, all tantras, all yantras have been combined within the four syllables of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. These eight syllables have got so much potency. So, propagation of the Bhagavad Gita, of the Srimad Bhagavat, of the sacrifice of chanting the holy names and glories of the Lord, is the special sacrifice or process for this age. So that gives a lot of karma, Krishna karma, that we can do. The people in general need to be educated in the purpose of life, in the origins of life, in the origins of the universe, in their relationship with Krishna, in the glories of Krishna and Balaram. Here the project is not to simply construct a building or temple in the ordinary sense, but rather a preaching facility for educating and uplifting the entire population and visitors to Bangalore. To inject the spiritual life into the ailing social body. And although there may be thousands of temples in other places, there's not so many major temples to Krishna, Balaram. I don't know if there are any here in such a grand city like Bangalore. So, this definitely gives activities that one can directly perform for Krishna, which Krishna has explained in the 11th chapter, brings a person back to Him. This is a means of booking your ticket back to Vaikuntha, back to Goloka. If we work for Krishna, then Krishna will take us back. Back to His own abode. By working for Krishna, then if we gradually also start to try to practice chanting, we can also develop more and more transcendental qualities. But even by working alone, this has got unlimited benefit. It is said that whatever one gives away in charity, one gets back. One never loses. But if you give to someone who is a brahmana, who's spiritually conscious, even he's half qualified, you get back double. But if he's fully qualified, you get back 10 times. Even he is pure, even he does not very well educate, but he's qualified, 10 times you get back. But if he's, then there's different levels of Brahmins. There's someone who's expert in performing rituals and yajnas. By giving to them, you get 1,000 times back. Or next is 10, 100. Then there's there are 4 or 5 levels of Brahmins. You get 100,000. Then there's what they call Vedavit or Vedantavit. One who knows the conclusion of the Vedanta. By giving to him, you get 100,000 times. But then there's the pure Vaishnava Brahmanas who are propagating pure bhakti, devotion to the Lord. So by helping them, by doing karma, in helping them to glorify the Lord, one gets back unlimited result. More than crores of times. Unlimited. Because you cannot put a price tag on it. It is so valuable. Certainly, a lot of help is required in order to propagate Krishna consciousness. Whoever helps in propagation, they are very rare persons. They are very fortunate. They are glorified. So therefore we should understand, even a little service to Krishna can go a long way. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, svalpamapyasya dharmasya mahato trayato bhayat. Even by a small practice of Krishna consciousness, one can be saved from the greatest dangers. Ajamiyam. He just named his son after the name of Narayan. So at the end of his life, he somehow called his son, and by that, he could remember Narayan. How will the Lord ever forget such a person's service? Even if it seems insignificant, by material standards, still Krishna is very grateful. He doesn't forget. If one can be fully absorbed in regularly offering some service, in helping in publication the books, in building the temples, developing the programs, and preaching to others, according to one's ability. Some say, I have no time, I'm too busy doing busyness. Prabhupada said, business means busyness. You're always busy. So when you ask a businessman to come and to temple, sometimes I am too busy, doing busyness. So then they can contribute some of their hard-earned fruits for the development of the program. But say there is someone, they are not having any financial solvency, then let them give some time. Let them come and do some voluntary work. If there's someone, they cannot do voluntary work physically, then let them speak to others. By speaking, they can do service, they can do work. Telling others about the wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. In this way, either by intelligence or by wealth or by capital, rather, or land, or by service or speech, by all means, or any means, we should try to help in this great sacrifice. This is the special Mahayajna of Kali Yuga. It's not very difficult. You don't require anything to chant Hare Krishna, actually. Simply the tongue and mouth is there, they're always vibrating some nonsense or other. Instead, we can vibrate Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But unfortunately, the people are such, you are all very pious people. So you've taken the trouble to climb this mountain and sit here and hear the Bhagavad Gita and to chant Hare Krishna and to taste the feast of Krishna Prasadam. But there are many people who are not so enthusiastic. They have not climbed up here. So, for those thousands and thousands of people, that in order to convince them to leave their TV set, they require a very big temple and a big facility. Then they'll think that this is more important, I go to temple. This is why Prabhupada said, for us, we can do bhajan even in a grass hut. This is a very ideal place for doing a chanting of Hare Krishna. But the people in the materialistic world today, they won't come in very great numbers. Therefore, we need to construct some nice facilities to accommodate many people, to attract many people. We follow this formula in Mayapur, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before, hardly one person would come the whole day. Now in one day, thousands and thousands of people are coming. 25,000 people, 100,000 people sometime come in one day. And our project there is not even 1% finished. So similarly here we can understand that by following the formula, literally hundreds of thousands of people will be visiting regularly in the future. If we have a facility. Otherwise, for ourselves we don't need it. We can chant anywhere. But for uplifting the people, we take this Krishna karma. So the devotees, they work very hard doing Krishna karma. You see them running here and there on their scooters, climbing up and down, carrying water, carrying tulsi, making garlands, bathing deities, going out distributing books, meeting people, meeting government people, meeting life members, meeting public, so on. So what is the difference between what work they're doing and a work of ordinary person in the material world? The difference is explained in this verse. They're doing Krishna karma. We all do karma. But we should do some karma for Krishna. Day and night we do karma for ourselves. What do we do for Krishna? He's given us everything. From the breath we breathe to the ability we have to speak. Everything, the whole world, all is simply His energy. So what do we do to repay Krishna, the great indebtedness we have to Him? So one of the means of repayment is to do Krishna karma. So the difference between a pure devotee and a devotee is to what extent they're engaged in Krishna karma. If someone is purely engaged in Krishna's work, he is a pure devotee. And when someone is doing some Krishna work and some work for their own interest, separate from Krishna's interest, then that means that they are a devotee also. But they are mixed devotee. So even mixed devotion is far better than no devotion. And they're doing work for Krishna, I mean, they're very advanced. Because only by working for Krishna can we come up to that pure devotion. It's not that all of a sudden one goes from no devotion to pure devotion. How is it possible? It's not that someone automatically starts driving the car without any training. So, no one should be discouraged that, oh, I'm not able to do pure devotion. Therefore, I should do no devotion. Everyone should try to do as much Krishna karma as possible. In this way, naturally, the Krishna karma will bring them to the perfectional stage. This is Krishna's statement. Mad artam apikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. By working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. Even if someone says, I cannot practice all vegetarian all the time, eating only Krishna prasadam. So better I won't worship Krishna, because I know that pure devotees of Krishna are vegetarian. They only eat Krishna prasadarian actually. Not exactly vegetarian, because even monkeys are vegetarian. We eat Krishna prasadam. So some people, they come to the idea that if I want to be a pure devotee of Krishna, I have to become vegetarian, eating Krishna prasad. They may think like vegetarian, but I like to eat other things. So then better to find out some other deva or devi I can worship and eat any old thing. Even I know Krishna is supreme, but it's not the right diet for me. So let me find something else. We shouldn't get into all these mental speculations and concussions. We should take Krishna's advice. If you can follow any aspect of devotional service, anyway, at least work for Krishna. By working for Krishna, you'll come to the perfectional platform. Krishna is very kind. He will accept whatever you offer. If you can offer more purely, that's to your benefit. But to whatever extent you are able to offer your work or your devotion, Krishna will accept. Especially if you offer through his devotee, that his devotee accepts, then Krishna accepts. In New York City in 1966, when Prabhupada first established the temple there, many people would come to offer service, sometimes unusual kinds of people. One day he was giving Bhagavad Gita class like I am giving today in the temple in New York, 52nd Avenue. All of a sudden, one very big, over 6 feet tall man carrying a big box walked right in the temple room with his shoes on and stood right in the center of everyone. Some devotee became very offended how he's walking right with his shoes in the temple. The whole class was disturbed, interrupted abruptly. Prabhupada looked at him and said that, yes, how can we help you? He said, I have brought this for you, Swamiji. He said, what is it? Toilet paper. Put it there by the door. He took the box, it was all the paper rolls and things. He put it by the door, and he walked out. Prabhupada said, very nice service attitude. Although Prabhupada could have said, he walked in with his shoes on, or even we don't use toilet paper much, that he brought a useless thing, or anything. But he found the one good point. He came to offer service. So that service, Krishna accepts. Prabhupada accepted. So by that service, that person is connected to Krishna. So if we go on doing service every day, or every week, or as often as possible, that's so much more to our benefit. Today is a sacred day of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, one of our previous acharyas. Our founder acharya is Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. His guru is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His guru is Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Today is a sacred day. We'll remember him. It's very unusual because he was illiterate. He couldn't read and write. But he was erudite in his understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. He would hear from all the great saints, although he was never educated formally, he had realized all the essence of devotion. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was fully qualified educationally. And his guru didn't know how to read and write. But that didn't matter, because he didn't want to learn how to read and write from his guru. He wanted to learn the science of Krishna consciousness. Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he was so renounced. When he would do bratta, he would eat from the empty skull to remind him of the temporary nature of the material world. He was a very great vairagi. He used to chant hundreds of thousands of names of Krishna. All the people would realize his spiritual force, they'd come to him to get ashirvad, blessing. So they'd come and ask, give me a good child, or give me this, or give me that. Actually, he became this, that nobody's coming to ask about how to practice Krishna bhakti. They're only coming for the very superficial things, which they can get anyway. So he decided that to separate the real devotees from the materialistic people, he started to chant next to the public urinal, which had a bad smell. So people, because they don't like the smell of the place, they wouldn't go and bother him. But one time, one very rich man, he was putting on a big yajna of Harinam, and he wanted to invite all of the great saints, great sadhus and Vaishnavas to come. So he knew the greatest sadhu at that time was Gaurakishore Das Babaji. He went to him and he requested that, my dear Babaji, I want you to come and preside over our function. The Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he said, you want me to come to your function to increase your name and fame. No, I want to serve you. I'm simply your disciple. I'm your servant. Whatever you said, then whatever I say, you'll do. Oh, yes. You're just saying that. No, no, whatever you say, I'll do. I want to simply propagate your glories. All right, if you'll do whatever I say, then you sit here with me and chant Hare Krishna. Oh, no, 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 Swamiji, I'm sorry, it's very difficult. He ran off. Gaurakishore Das Babaji had a sense of humor. So he was on a very elevated platform. So he didn't like all the superficial things. He was always feeling separation for Krishna. The stage here that says when we have a desire for Krishna, he had a deep desire for Krishna. Therefore we pray that today he may bless all the people present and all those who are working for Krishna here in this project, and who have helped and will help in the future, to get the special blessing of Gaurakishore Das Babaji to develop a strong desire to attain Krishna. This is his special gift he would give. He was feeling always love of Krishna so much that for him, where he sat, it didn't matter. He wanted simply to concentrate in Krishna's name. We cannot imitate that. So, here I have to close the discussion. I thank you for your patient hearing. Hope that all of you will achieve perfection by doing Krishna Karmani, Mat Karma, Krishna Karma, Paramo Bhava. All achieve the supreme destination. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.